As we read our sermon text from Isaiah chapter 6 and verses 5 through 8. Isaiah 6, 5 through 8. Hear God's holy and inspired word. Isaiah 6, starting at verse 5. So I said, woe is me, for I am undone, because I am a man of unclean lips, and I dwell in the midst of a people of unclean lips, for my eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts. Then one of the seraphim flew to me, having in his hand a live coal, which he had taken with tongs from the altar. And he touched my mouth with it and said, behold, this has touched your lips. Your iniquity is taken away and your sin purged. Also, I heard the voice of the Lord saying, whom shall I send? And who will go for us? Then I said, here am I. Send me. Amen. You may be seated. And I ask that you pray with me now. Lord, we are grateful for your word, and we are grateful that you are the King and you are on the throne. And so we worship you. We give you the glory. We give you the praise. And we pray, Lord, that we would derive great encouragement and strength from this word. Speak to us now, we pray, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And prepare us to continually worship you. And then also prepare us that we might go and proclaim your message. Thank you, Lord, for giving us light. Thank you for giving us truth. Thank you for cleansing us and preparing us to serve you. We thank you and we bless your name. In Jesus' name, amen. 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 In this passage, we have one of the many instances in the Bible that reveal a truth, and that truth is that hidden in losses, God gives blessing. Hidden in losses, God gives blessing. The sermon title this morning is, I Saw the King. I Saw the King. And so in the midst of the loss, the great loss to the nation of Judah, God reveals himself to Isaiah, and God reveals himself to the people of God. And one commentator puts it this way, if the throne of Israel had not been empty, Isaiah would not have seen the throne God in the heavens. And so it is with all our losses, all our sorrows, all our disappointments, with all our pains. They have a mission to reveal to us the enthroned God. Hallelujah. And so I want to urge us not to waste our griefs and our sorrows. Let us learn God's purpose in emptying hearts and chairs and homes, as it were, says McLaren. He empties them. Why? So that he may fill them with himself. Amen. And so what we want to talk about this morning is this, that the Lord brings loss into our lives that we may gain the fullness of God. The Lord brings loss into our lives that we may gain the fullness of God. And so what we're looking at this morning is that painful loss, and it is painful. I'm not downplaying that it hurts. I know it hurts. I'm a human being too. I experience loss. I know it hurts. Painful loss serves a glorious purpose. So there's purpose in the pain. Painful loss serves a glorious purpose. And you can remember this by two words. Oh no! Oh no. We're going to look at oh no, and then wow. And then after wow, we're going to get whoa. And after whoa, we get go. So that's how you can remember the sermon. Oh no, wow, whoa, go. That's the 4 points. And I'll unfold those for you as we go. Oh no. And it was literally an oh no situation for the nation of Judah. They had the death of a generally good king. King Uzziah was a great king, and for the most part, he had a good reign. He finished badly when he went and sacrificed and did what the priests were supposed to do. And then because of his disobedience towards the Lord, he became a leper after that. And there's a whole story there. But generally, he was a good king. He sought to honor the Lord. He reigned for 52 years. That is a long time for a king to reign. And during the greater part of his reign, the people of Judah were very prosperous. He was victorious in war, and he was successful in the arts of peaceful industry. And you can read about how prosperous he was and how God's people, in a lot of ways, sinned against the blessing of prosperity. And we can read about that in Isaiah 5. That's the chapter before 6, obviously. But in Isaiah 5, we have 6 woes. So chapter 5 has 6 woes. Chapter 6 has the 7th woe. The 5 woes are against the people of Judah. And the 6 woes are against the people of Judah. And the 7th woe is against the prophet himself. And also as many of us who are willing to receive that woe and the blessing that comes with it. Can you imagine a blessing coming from woe? But God is able to bless through that. So Isaiah 5, the first woe is in verse 5, verse 8. Woe to the greedy, those who add house to house and field to field. Their material wealth becomes a curse and not a blessing because they don't use it for the glory of God. They spend it on themselves. And as a result, instead of having houses full, those houses are going to be desolate and empty. Second woe, verse 11. Woe to those who pursue strong drink, partying late into the night. And this is one of the things that happens in prosperity. We take prosperity and use it to indulge ourselves, and then that's where prosperity becomes a curse rather than a blessing. And so there's this prosperity, there's this plenty, but what happens? Instead of people being blessed by the plenty, they don't pay attention to the deeds of the Lord, they don't consider the work of his hands, verse 12, and they go into exile for lack of knowledge. So they don't have the knowledge of God. There's a famine for the knowledge of God, even in the midst of material plenty. Welcome to 21st century America. We have material plenty, but there's a famine for the Word of God. There's a famine for the knowledge of God. And so, as a people who have plenty, we need God more than we need the blessings or the things that God gives. Amen? And so there's a woe to those who pursue strong drink. There's a woe to those who drag sin with ropes of falsehood. These are those who work really hard at being sinful, work really hard at mocking God and tempting God. Why do I say that? Well, it says in verse 19, they say, "Let him make speed. Let him hasten to work that we may see it. Let the purpose of the Holy One draw near and come to pass that we may know it." So these are people who are sinning boldly. They're pulling sin with ropes of falsehood. They're mocking God. And they're saying, "Okay, God, if you're there, let's see you act." Whoa. Can you imagine? Let's see how that works for them. But don't let us dare God and mock God either. Amen? We want to have a fear of the Lord. And so, Lord, grant that we may have a fear of the Lord, and grant that that the people of our land and our world would fear God. Amen? Then there are those who call evil good and good evil. Again, welcome to 21st century America. We call killing of babies in the womb good. That's evil. 61 million people have died as a result of calling that evil good. We call marriage between a man and a man, or a woman and a woman, we call that good. God calls it in his word an abomination. And so we need to agree with God's word no matter what the consequences. And then there's a woe to those who are wise in their own eyes. They're clever in their own sight. But God says that's a worldly wisdom, and that wisdom is from hell. It is demonic. And so we need to learn what true wisdom is, and true wisdom is found in God's word. Amen. Amen. And then lastly, there's the woe to heroes at drinking and mixing strong drink. And that drunkenness leads to bribes and injustice. So general corruption of what is good, what is right, what is just. And so when there is this kind of corruption at all levels of society, from the dog catcher on up to the Supreme Court, when there's that much corruption, don't expect that there's going to be freedom. Don't expect that there's going to be liberty. Don't expect that there's going to be justice. There won't. There can't be. Because true freedom, liberty, and justice come from God. And so, Lord, have mercy on us and on our society. We need Jesus. We need revival. We need a return to God and a return to His Word. And I'm not ashamed to say it. Those who teach otherwise, they're the ones who need to be ashamed. And so we have these six woes in Isaiah 5, which prepare us for the seventh woe in Isaiah 6, where Isaiah says, "Woe is me. I'm ruined. I'm destroyed. I'm undone." Why? Because I am a man of unclean lips. And I live among a people of unclean lips. So I'm the unclean lip of a people of unclean lips. I'm the chief of sinners. And I have this duty, this job, this privilege, this obligation of proclaiming the Word of God, the holy, holy, holy Word of God. I have to proclaim this, and my lips are unclean before the Lord. How can I do this? In view of God's mercy is how. And so flies the seraphim from the altar. The altar alters everything. The cross changes everything. May the Lord use the cross to change us from the inside out. Jesus knows that we are sinners and that we need His mercy. We need His grace. We need His peace. And so Jesus purchases peace and life and mercy and grace for us at the cross. And the altar is a foreshadowing of the cross. You know, there are four horns on that altar. There are four points on the cross. And it was at the cross that Jesus poured out His sinless blood to wash away our sin, to wash away our iniquity, to purge away our filth and sin, and to prepare us to worship God and then to go with His message of good news. Hallelujah. Amen. What an awesome thing God does. But it all starts with seeing the King. With seeing the King. And so Isaiah says in Isaiah 6:1, "In the year of King Uzziah's death, I saw the Lord. I saw the Lord." May the Lord open our eyes. May He use trials and difficulties and losses so that we take our eyes off ourselves and put our eyes on the Lord. May we even hit bottom so that all we can do is look up and see the Lord. The Lord seated on His throne. It may seem like all hell is breaking loose, but God is still seated on the throne. And the Lord Jesus is still on the throne because In John 12:41, John the Evangelist tells us very pointedly, 12:41, he says, "Isaiah was referring to Jesus when he said this because he saw the future and spoke of the Messiah's glory. So when Isaiah saw the glory of God, he was seeing Jesus. He was seeing Christ before him. And we may also assert, and you can bear this out from your own study, excuse me, in the Old Testament, whenever there is a physical manifestation of God, the second person of the Trinity, the Lord Jesus Christ, was there. And so here is a physical appearance of God where there's smoke and there's shaking and there's an appearance of the Lord of hosts, and his eyes actually saw something. That means the Lord Jesus was there. And you can see it again and again, the burning bush or the cloud the cloud and the pillar of cloud and fire. Again and again, the Lord reveals himself physically to God's people, and that shouldn't scare us because we know that Jesus Christ is the Lord God in the flesh. Amen? Amen. So painful loss serves a glorious purpose. Uzziah, after 52 years of reign, Uzziah, it was his time to pass away. He had to die. And so I need to ask you this morning, what do you do when your Uzziah dies? What do you do when you go from boom to bust? Or when you suffer great loss, where do you turn? I want to encourage you to turn to the Lord and to look up to the King who is seated on the throne. Even now, even in the midst of your losses. Amen? And so the Lord is able to take the oh no and turn it into a oh no. Instead of a O-N-O, into a O-K-N-O-W. Know God in the midst of the loss. Hosea 6:3 says, oh, that we might know the Lord. Let us press on to know him. Let's press through the loss to know our God better. Yes, there's pain. We'll take the pain to him. He is the God of all comfort. And he is the Father of mercies. He's able to meet us in the loss. He's able to meet us in the pain, in the middle of the difficulty, and to comfort us with his Holy Spirit of comfort. And he's the Father of mercies. He gives birth to mercies. As we need mercy, he gives this freely to us. Amen. So there's the oh no, but then there's also the wow. God reveals his fullness when we are empty. What a great truth. God reveals his fullness when we are empty. When we're empty, we're able to see the Lord, Adonai, sitting on a throne, high and lifted up. And that's the way it ought to be. Sometimes we look up to the Uzziahs of the world and we make them too big and we make them too important. And we think, oh yes, so-and-so, if only so-and-so got elected, then everything would be great. And then so-and-so doesn't get elected. Or so-and-so does get elected. Either way, and then things turn bad. Then what? Even though the one I wanted to get elected was elected, or the one I didn't want to get elected, doesn't matter. Either way, Jesus Christ is on the throne. And that's the thing we need to remember. And so we need to open our eyes, the eyes of our hearts, to see the King is seated on the throne, no matter what. Amen? I don't want to get political with you, and I hope that doesn't derail you for the rest of the sermon. Let's focus on Jesus. He is on the throne. And that's the important thing. So he's high and lifted up, and then he fills. I don't know if you noticed, three times the word full or filling is used in this passage. Did you notice that? The Lord opened my eyes. I'd never seen it before, but I saw it this past week. Verse 1, it says that his robe, and that's a picture of his glory. His robe is filling the temple. And it could have been that Isaiah saw this vision in the earthly temple. Or maybe he had a vision of the temple in heaven. The heavenly sanctuary of God, of which the temple was a picture. And so Moses was told, make the tabernacle after the pattern you see in heaven. And then Solomon pretty much did the same thing, had the temple made according to the pattern of heaven. So Isaiah sees the train of the Lord filling the temple. And then also the seraphim, the holy ones, the burning ones, who are at the throne of God, they cry out to one another and they say, holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is what? Full of his glory. And so he was able to see the earth full of the glory of God. And then lastly, in verse 4, it says the temple was filling with smoke. Now, the smoke likely here is a reference to incense. In the worship of the temple, they would burn a sweet-smelling incense. And we're told that the incense is figurative of the prayers of the saints, the holy ones of God. And so as we pray in Jesus' name, our prayers rise up as a sweet-smelling fragrance to God. And so the presence of God is a full presence of his glory, a full presence of prayers. And so God reveals his fullness when we are empty. May he fill us all up with the fullness of God through his Holy Spirit. Amen. And so that's the wow. May we all have our eyes open to the full glory of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. And then there's the wow, but then there's the woe. Or if we want to use the Hebrew, hoy, you know, oy, that's where that comes from. Woe is me, for I am ruined, undone, destroyed. I am a man of unclean lips, and I live among a people of unclean lips. Isaiah sees his bankruptcy and his inadequacy for prophetic ministry. How many of us ever feel inadequate when it comes to sharing the gospel? How many of us feel inadequate when the Lord gives us a word to speak to someone that we think might be hard for them to hear? That's when we pray. That's when we cry out, Lord, have mercy on me. Thank you for forgiving me. May your forgiveness and your mercy be extended to them as well. And so it's understanding our own ruinedness and understanding that our adequacy is not from ourselves. It's from God. It's grace. It's a gift. And so that live coal, can you imagine what it would feel like to have a live coal touch your lips? The Lord is able. And so he's able to cleanse us and make us adequate for ministry. Or else yours truly would not be standing here. It's what God enables and God does. And so God provides forgiveness from the altar. God reveals our sin need. And that's the woe. Before we can go, we need to feel the woe. Amen? Amen. Amen. And so, you see in Isaiah, in Psalm 51, what does David say? He says, then I will teach transgressors your ways, and sinners will be converted to you after what my sin is covered and atoned for. And so there's only one source in the whole world and in all of eternity, there's only one source of forgiveness, and that is from the cross of the Lord Jesus Christ. There is no other name given under heaven by which we must be saved except for the name of Jesus Christ. And that's Acts 4:12. The connection between the cross and the altar is complete. In other words, all of the sacrifices from the Old Testament, starting from Genesis chapter 3, and there was a sacrifice there because God sacrificed animals to provide skins for Adam and Eve in Genesis 3. And so all the sacrifices point ahead to the sacrifice of Jesus on the cross. And the cross does change everything. Have you been changed? Have you been transformed by the cross of Jesus Christ? We are not to be conformed to the pattern of this world, Romans 12:2 says. The pattern of this world is me first. But the pattern of the cross, the mindset of mercy, is God first and me sacrificed for him. And that's the mindset of Christ Jesus. Jesus was sacrificed to the glory and pleasure of the Father. God used that sacrifice to redeem us from an enemy too strong for us. And so the cross changes everything. Thanks be to God for the reality of redemption. Who needs to be redeemed? I do. And who provided the redemption we need? Jesus. God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. All three are active in our redemption. Hallelujah. And God reveals our sin need? What would happen if we didn't realize that before a holy, holy God, we're ruined and that we're thoroughly bankrupt and we can't save ourselves? Thank God that He opens our eyes to see Him holy, 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 and we as unholy, and that we need cleansing. And then hallelujah, that He provides the cleansing we need through the blood of the Lamb of God. And so a picture of that is that coal coming from the altar to cleanse Isaiah's lips. And so Isaiah now has a message. And that's the beauty of Isaiah. I love that book because it really is a little gospel. The gospel beforehand, the book of Isaiah. And so God says in verse 8, "Whom shall I send? And who will go for us?" That's the go. It's from woe to go. And what does Isaiah say? He says, "Here I am. Here I am. Send me. Send me." And God says, "Okay, go and tell this people. Keep on listening, but do not perceive. Keep on looking, but do not understand. Render the hearts of the people insensitive and their ears dull and their eyes dim, lest they see with their eyes, hear with their ears, understand with their hearts, and return and be healed." So what a commission that is for these people to see and not see, to hear and not hear, to listen and not understand, and they don't turn. And they're not healed. I don't know if I would like to sign up for that duty. But who gets to choose what ministry and what results of the ministry are? The results are in God's hands. Amen. And then in here, I think there's a prayer. I think there's a prayer, "Lord, please work in the hearts of the hearers so that their eyes would be open, so their ears would be open, and so their hearts could understand the message, and so that they can believe the gospel, so they can repent and believe the good news," which is the message of the gospel. We need to turn from our sin and turn to the sin bearer, the Lord Jesus Christ. And so maybe you know some people, maybe you are some people sometimes, who have a hard time understanding or hearing or seeing. So the prayer is, "Lord, please open my eyes. Please open my ears. Please open my heart to your word. Every time you pick up this book," that should be your prayer, first for yourself and then for those around you. Because hearing the word of God, seeing the word of God, understanding the word of God, for that to happen requires a miracle of God. It requires the supernatural working of the Holy Spirit. And so that's my prayer for you. And please pray for me, because it needs to be opened up to me before I open it up to you. And it needs to be opened up to you before you open it up to others. Because what God pours into you is not meant for you alone. It's meant to be poured through you to others. It's meant to be shared. We can't store it in a bucket and keep it to ourselves so we have some tomorrow. It turns wormy then. Manna that you get from God is meant to be shared today. And then there's more for tomorrow. There's more for the next day. We keep gathering on a daily basis. As one preacher put it, we're not coming to church on Sunday to eat a piglet. What kind of animal eats a piglet? A big snake eats a piglet, swallows it whole, and then it goes into the burrow and sleeps for several days digesting a piglet. We're not snakes. We're people. We need to eat on a daily basis. And so we take in God's word on a daily basis, just like we take in physical food on a daily basis. And I'm going to say this again, and you can get mad at me and tell me to come up with a different illustration or a different application. If you're having trouble with getting into the word and getting that word into you like it's your necessary food, don't eat anything until you've spent time in the word and in prayer. Make your breakfast a breaking a fast and breaking a famine for God's word. Read God's word first before you put food in your physical belly. And that might be a little bit of impetus to get into the word first and to remember that we don't live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. And may we, as we go to that word, may we see the King high and lifted up. And may we have that wow experience. May the Lord use it to shake the doorposts. Sometimes we need things shaken a bit. May we see the Lord and worship Him, the one who's high and lifted up, the one who fills the temple with His robe, the one who fills the earth with His glory, and fills things with His sweet fragrance. And may He reveal our sin, and may we part with it. That's called repentance. We don't need that stuff, whatever it is. We need Jesus, and we can't have the world and Jesus at the same time. We've got to let go of the world and lay hold of Jesus. Amen? And then we have a message. Then we can go. And so we want to say, "Here I am, Lord. Send me. Send me." Let's pray. Our Lord, we want to thank You and praise You for revealing Yourself to us, even though we have been unclean hearts, lips, because it's out of the heart of man that sin proceeds. And so, Lord, would You please cleanse our hearts and our lips through the blood of Jesus. Grant us true and deep repentance and faith in the Lord Jesus. And so, Lord, I pray You would bless this word to us. May it bear great fruit for Your glory, for Your kingdom. May Your love be planted deeply in our hearts. And so prepare us to love the people that You would send us to, and for that great delight and desire to well up in us so that we too will say, Here am I, Lord. Send me. Send us, we pray, for your honor and for your glory. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.